Good morning. My name is David Geyer, and thank you, Vera. Vera is one of our parishioners in the San Fernando Valley Parish. I'm the pastor at the San Fernando Valley New City Church. And so is Sherry, who did the call to worship, and Eric, who did communion. So we had a little bit of an SFV flavor to this Sunday. And I have the privilege of sharing the word today. And so before I get started, I'd like to pray, if you all would pray for me and with me. God, I just want to thank you for this day, for waking us up, for bringing us together virtually, for continuing to sow this community together in love, in devotion to you, in seeking out your goodness, and trying to our best to be a reflection of your goodness to the world around us. Lord, I pray that today you would tune our ears to your voice, open our eyes to see you, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, that you would have your way today. Lord, please speak to us this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me try to get you guys all on here so I can see everybody. Hey, good morning. Again, my name is, hey, yes, I love that. Thank you for the waves. Good morning. It is so good to see you all. I'd like to ask you to do something for me. So we're going to start with a little activity that will make more sense as we move along here. One thing we like to do as a family when I was growing up is we like to make beets at the dinner table. And sometimes what would happen is my dad would make the backbeat. The backbeat in music is kind of like the one and the three, or the two and the four. It's like a doom, 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 doom. Like my dad would make the backbeat on the table, right? And then I would like hit the glass like ding, 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 ding. Okay, so and then my sister would hit something. Okay, so here's what I'm going to ask y'all to do. We're going to do this activity together as a church. So I need you to find something on your chair that sounds good, or a spoon that's close to you. I need you guys to entertain me here, please. Grab something you can smack. You could just clap your hands if you don't have anything. Slap your thigh, okay? So Michelle and I recorded a song for us to add our... So I laid down the backbeat. I need you guys to add the embellishments and the accents, okay? So please join me in adding to the rhythm of this song.
When peace like a rhythm attendeth my way, when sorrows lie sleeping on those roads, whatever my life thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well.
It is well with my soul.
Hey. Good job. Good job, everybody. I saw some spoons. I saw some clapping. I appreciate you engaging in that exercise. So, yeah, this is something we like to do growing up. And it's something I do with my kids now when my wife will let me, because it's a little bit of racket at the dinner table, I'm going to be honest. I've always loved rhythm growing up. When there's a, it's funny because our, and Michelle's the same way as me. So when our kids, whenever a song comes on, my little three-year-old, Wrigley, whenever a song comes on, he can't even help it. He doesn't know he's doing it. He'll just start like, he'll start moving to the beat. It's like the cutest thing. Michelle and I are built the same way. We just, I've always loved rhythm, loved a perfectly timed cymbal crash, and love the way beats drop and stuff like that. So I love music and I love rhythm, and I love that activity that we did as a kid. I'm sure that built some of the love of rhythm for me. And so, you know, God loves rhythm too. He's built it into creation. He's built it into the sunrise and the sunset, the rhythm of the day. He's built it into the seasons, and he's built it into the waves as they gain momentum and they crash. And he's built it into music. And he also built rhythm into scripture. And he talked about the rhythm of life and how you spend days working, but then you have to rest. Just like in music, you put in the rest so that your body can re-energize. So God built in scripture this rhythm of work and rest. And he taught us how to build in a rhythm of worship in scripture. And one of the things I've been struggling with, so we're in this series called Fragile Times. And today we're talking about rhythm in fragile times. And one of the things I've struggled with in these fragile times is I feel like my rhythm has been disrupted. I feel like there's been a lot of dissonance, of bad notes being hit, of me feeling like I can't find the beat. You know, I've recently tried to take up a little bit of boxing because, and you guys may be able to relate to this, but I start a new workout routine every couple of months because I've convinced myself it's not me, it's the routine. Like, I would exercise consistently if I could just find the right thing to do. Is anybody out there feel that way? So, you know, like, you know, I bought kettlebells because, you know, like, oh, if I got kettlebells, then I'd work out all the time. And no, if I get a nice bike, then I'll just ride the bike all the time. And, you know, so anyway, I've convinced myself that it's not me, it's the routine. I just haven't found the right thing to really get my juices going on my workout. So I've been getting into boxing a little bit. What I love about boxing is it's got this rhythm to it, right? You got the heavy bag, and you feel the weight and the shifting motion, and you bob and you weave and you kind of work your jabs, and there's a rhythmic element to that workout, which is why I thought it would work for me. And I feel like in life a lot, pre-coronavirus, I had figured out the bob and weave. Like, I had figured out how to get my kids to school and make sure they were bathed at least a few times a week. And I'd brush their teeth every so often, right? And so I'd figured out that part, the family part. And I'd figured out how to make it through work, right? I was bobbing and weaving and pulling my punches. And I'd figured out how to, you know, the finances weren't great, but I'd figured out how to balance that, right, so that I could sleep, you know, at least a little bit at night, and figured out how to balance church and work and friends. And I'd had this bob and weave of life, right? I figured out how and when to pull my punches. And then coronavirus hit. And the rhythm of life came crashing down. And I found myself feeling like my three-year-old was just banging on the crash cymbal, you know? And I couldn't figure out where my bag had gone, and they were no longer in school, and work was from a distance, and finances were uncertain, and jobs were uncertain. And the rhythm of life that I had built came crashing down. Do y'all feel this a little too? Have you felt this? You had this balance. You figured out how to pull your punches, how to move the bag, and And now your work and your finances and came crashing down, and you feel isolated and you feel lonely. And for those of us that have kids, we've turned into homeschool teachers. And some of us, I've heard in my small group who are single, have missed the touch, the embrace. So all of these things have come crashing down, family and friends and social structure and work. And we find ourselves looking down and seeing that our bob and weave, this music of life that we were playing, it's no longer syncopated. How do we take this mess and figure out what it looks like in these fragile times? So I found myself saying, what does God have to say about this dissonance, this disrupted rhythms? So I'm going to take us to Ecclesiastes. So it'll be on the screen, I believe. But if not, you can look it up, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. A quick note about wisdom literature before I read this. You know, wisdom literature takes wisdom to read. There are proverbs that speak about the same situation but give, opposing advice, because you don't just read one proverb and apply it in all times. So that's one thing. As we read Ecclesiastes, it's wisdom literature. So, you shouldn't take verse 3, there's a time to kill, put it on a sticky note, and put it on your mirror and be like, yeah, this, you know, no, this, that's not what this is saying. So we're going to have to read this and step back and put our wisdom lenses on and see what God might have to say. Cause this is beautiful for the time that we're in right now. So let's read. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? And the word there is amal. It's this labor in misery, this anxious, troubled labor. Does anybody feel like they're caught in this anxious, troubled labor? What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business, that the word there is inyan, the business, the affair. In some translations, it says the burden, the work, the task, the weight, the rhythm. I've seen the rhythm that life has placed on you, that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable, and some translations say beautiful. And I'm like, I don't know about beautiful right now, but I'm going to work through this. He has made everything suitable or beautiful for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of future and of past and future into their minds. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing, nor anything taken away from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before him. That which has already been, or that which is already has been, that which is to be already is, and God seeks out what has gone by. So step back, put our wisdom glasses on, say, what for this season, what might God have to say to us as we deal with the pieces that have fallen from the rhythms that we built up? And I think one piece that's obvious in this passage is this idea that God knows that there are seasons, there are times that are going to come and go. You're going to have the waves are going to crash, and they're also going to rise up and be beautiful. You're going to have seasons of joy and seasons of sorrow. You're going to have this is not the first pandemic to hit the world. God has seen these seasons come and go, and he just wants to encourage us that there will be seasons, and they do pass. They do pass. There are seasons in life, and they do pass. But I think one thing I've always struggled with in terms of trying to build my rhythm of life, trying to build my gospel, my good news-centered, God-centered, biblical perspective rhythm to life, is sometimes when I'm in a season, because I know that they pass, you know, I've read this before, I know that there are seasons, that things come and go, sometimes I look to the future, just anxiously waiting for the season to pass. I remember, when Michelle was pregnant, my wife was pregnant, and I just wanted the pregnancy to be over so that the baby would come. And then when the baby came, I just wanted them to sleep through the night. So I was like, maybe, yeah, can this first 6 months just hurry up? This is too difficult for me. And then once they got to two, I'm like, I'm really ready for them to get out of diapers. And so I'm just, you know, I and maybe you feel this way too, with the kind of the challenges that you have to endure in life. Often, sometimes we get stuck saying, you know, everything will be fine once I get through this season. Once I get that credit card paid off, once I find that perfect relationship, once I deal with this family issue, once I get this next job, once I finally find what I'm supposed to do, there's this unfortunate like anxiety within us that tries to pull us through seasons. And one piece of wisdom that we can glean from Ecclesiastes here is that he has made everything suitable, and some translations beautiful, for its time. And also in verse 12, it says, I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil, in all of their anxious, working, laborious, sometimes miserable toil. Take pleasure in their toil. And so as I read this, I stepped back and I said, well, there's two pieces of wisdom to kind of glean from Ecclesiastes in this season that we're in. One is that it will pass. And so I can take some stock in that. But the second is that I need to be careful not to let it pass without being present in it, without figuring out what is, maybe there is, there's something God can teach us, can teach the church, can teach the world about how we can better reflect his image as a church body. What does it look like to be fully present in this season, to take some pleasure in the toil? And for some of us, it's like, this is miserable. Lost my job, you know, family or friends might be sick. What does it look like to take, and pleasure is a tough word, but to rest in and be in all of the ups and downs of the waves, to be in the pain, to be in the joy, to be in the isolation, to be in the goodness and the ups and downs? What does it look like? And so after reading Ecclesiastes, I thought, we can't stop there. We got to keep digging. So I found myself in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And it says this, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. All you that have heavy business, have a yoke that's heavy, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, the word there is zygos, the balance of scales, the weight that I've put on you, the cadence of life. Take my rhythm, Jesus says. Take my rhythm upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, my rhythm, my weight, my cadence. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So then I stepped back from Matthew. And I read this and I said, so God's rhythm is light. And I looked down at the mess that I had trying to figure out what does life look like now. We may not be able to go back to the way it was before. Things may be permanently changed. What does it look like to build my rhythm back up as a homeschool teacher of a first grader? I never taught first grade before. As a homeschool teacher of a first grader, as a distance principal, as a distance pastor, as a husband. And for you, what does it look like to look down? And you know, one thing that I think is a gift of this time, and this is where Ecclesiastes comes back in. Don't let this season pass without looking at what's on the ground. Because you know what I realized in this season as I look back at my old boxing routine of life, as I look back at my own punches and my bob and weave, there were some punches I was throwing where I was worn out. And I was leaving my arm extended. And I was still trying to hit the bag. And I was doing a lot of things in life that now I look back and I was like, why was I, there were some things I was spending my energy on, my time on, my money on, my worry on, my anxiety on, that I was just leaving my arm extended. I wasn't pulling back. I wasn't getting my body into it. I wasn't fulfilling that punch in life. So don't let this season pass by and not see that there might be an opportunity for you to look at the mess and figure out what needs to be let go. What God might be doing in this season is teaching us and teaching the church what it looks like to build a healthy, gospel-centered, Jesus-centered rhythm that cares for our neighbor and cares for ourselves. And we can't look past the season. We can take a little solace in the fact that we're not going to be at home forever, hopefully. But don't look past the season and miss the opportunity to be able to look down and figure out what needs to be let go. But then the second thing I thought as I looked at this Matthew passage is, I'm not starting from scratch. I'm not building a rhythm from scratch. What God says here in Matthew is that if I take on this yoke, this balance scales, this rhythm, this cadence that Jesus has given to me, I'm starting with a backbeat. God's given me the two and the four. He's given me the doom, t, doom, t, doom. God's given me, he's provided the backbeat. And what is that backbeat? When God created humanity, he looked at us and he said, I'm creating you in my image. Man and woman in my image to demonstrate to the world my goodness. I'm giving you this backbeat of image bearer so that you might show the world how good God is. And so we've got this backbeat of image bearer. Then in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. Because what we did with that image is throughout human history, we've made a mess of it. This ain't the first time the rhythm has come crashing down on humanity. Like over time, we've continued to just make a mess of fulfilling this calling to be God's image bearers and and demonstrate mercy and goodness and kindness and faithfulness. Like we've messed it up over and over and over again. And so God has been on this journey to redeem humanity. He's been chasing after us. And in Jesus, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And so we've got this backbeat of being the redeemed. That God loved you and I so much and loved the world so much that he gave the world the church. So we have this opportunity to be the redeemed, to live into that backbeat. That he gives us victory over death. And so we've got this backbeat that while the world is crazy and while death is knocking at the door and while disease is running rampant, God has given us victory over death. And so he's got the hi-hat going, you know, and he's given us this backbeat of victory. And he's called the church to this backbeat of restoration. What does it look like to take the mess that the world has made, the mess that humanity has made of this calling to be image bearers? What does it look like to restore the goodness? So we start with this backbeat in this season of fragile times. And then we get to fill in our accents. We're at this table of life, picking up the spoon, you know, slapping the chair. And we get to figure out, what does this new bob and weave look like? We rest and remind ourselves that there's this backbeat. It's not all a mess, you know. We can live into this backbeat that God has given us. And I think for me, as I studied this and have been dealing with this in life, I started more and more to see this as an opportunity to fill in what God might want my life to look like, what God might want the church to look like. That we can start to fill in. And God's given some direction on this, but that'd be a whole nother sermon. Like, you know, we can live into the fruit of the Spirit and start to build things that are kind and good and merciful and great. You know, like God has given us a playbook of loving our neighbor and loving ourselves. And that's what it looks like that's the practical steps. But the truth is that's going to look different for each of us, because what it looks like to build this new rhythm when you have teenagers at home, when you have little kids at home, when you are single, when you are dealing with job loss, so for each of us need to do some of the work to sit down and rest in the backbeat that God has given us. Take stock of how we might build something beautiful again. So what I'd like us to do is I'd like us to go back to "It Is Well With My Soul." Because what I found myself doing is after things didn't feel well with my soul and I was experiencing all of the dissonance and the struggle. And the truth is we're going to continue to experience, this is not, we're going to continue to experience dissonance. We're going to continue to look at the mess. But what I want us to start moving forward to is knowing that this song, "It Is Well With My Soul," almost captures the backbeat perfectly. That God is with us. That we are the redeemed, the victorious, the image bearers. So remind us, rest in that backbeat. And then start on the journey of reflecting on the punches you need to pull and the things you need to work on to build beautiful music again. Let's engage in that activity again. So we're going to play "It Is Well With My Soul," and it's hard to drum and sing at the same time. So I apologize for any rhythmic errors that I've made in the recording, but please engage with us. Grab your spoon. All right. Slap your thigh and let's make music together. Amen.
When peace like a river attend with my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, Satan should burn, though trials should come, this blessed assurance control. There Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and shed his own blood. My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is a
Let me say a prayer to close this one. Let me pray for us. God, we come before you and life has been disrupted. God, you know some of the burdens that we're carrying, the business, the heavy business that we're carrying. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to see what might be beautiful in this season. And I pray that you would help us to see the backbeat you've given us for life. That we might see that all is not lost, that not everything has come crashing down, that there is a constant in the story of humanity. And that constant is our image-bearing, redeemed, victorious, restorative backbeat to life that we can live into through the grace of Jesus Christ. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us see that. Lord, give us patience with ourselves and allow us to mourn some of the things that came crashing down, and give us eyes to see those who are hurting around us, and help us to see what it might look like to build a gospel center, good news focused, new rhythm. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.